Hey guys, welcome to Our City Church. We are so glad you are here. If you're looking for some good sermons and great words of encouragement, you have come to the right place. And while you're here, go ahead and like, comment, and subscribe, and share this with all your loved ones if you want them to be encouraged as well. Now, let's join this week's sermon in progress.
So we're so grateful that you decided to spend Mother's Day with us. You could be anywhere being celebrated. You could be at brunch right now, but you decided to be in God's house, and we are so thankful. We're blessed that you're here. And today, I know in the room, there are all types of mamas. There are moms who are thriving and moms who are surviving. No matter what age and stage your kids are in, it's hard. Doesn't matter if they're newborns all the way up to an adult child. It is a hard walk to be a mom. And I want you to know that God is with you, even in all the hard seasons. And I want to encourage you to tap into His grace. We have moms in waiting. They haven't became pregnant yet, and I'm so encouraged by Carly Carr's faith. So encouraged. She's not discouraged to say this isn't going to happen. She keeps saying when this happens. She has hope in her future. There are moms in here that are grieving, that you've lost children. Grief is so real, especially on Mother's Day. We see you, we feel you, and we're here for you. And then there are moms in here that are like, I didn't have a good mama. She didn't speak life into me. And it was a struggle to celebrate mom. But I know that you have broken that generational curse. You've broken that generational curse, and that relationship has become fuel to your fire to be the best mama that you can. We have single moms in here that do a lot on their own, and we want you to know that we see you. And we're thankful that you have your kids in the house of the Lord. It's hard. We have adoptive moms that have found fulfillment and passed it on to a new generation. I love that. You know, people can get bitter or they can empower, and that's what our adoptive moms have done. And then we have spiritual moms in the house who are teaching, empowering, and encouraging people to stay the course. And then we have people in here today, mamas in here today, that are missing their own mom. About 6 years ago, during the pandemic, we got to drive up on my mother's last Mother's Day, and we got to surprise her. Being a pastor, I don't get to be at the Mother's Day and Father's Day, and that was one beautiful thing that came out of the pandemic, the only beautiful thing, but anyway, I got to go up and surprise her, and I'll never forget, she was sitting there. Oh, Mama, I'm sorry in heaven, but this story is way too good. We opened up the door, and we brought the flowers, and as we came through the kitchen into the living room, she was sitting in her sweatpants and her bra, and it was my family, and she went, oh, and my son Kagan got a video, and we had to put one of those little emoji shirts on her because she was exposed. But that day was so special to her, but it is a day that I'll always cherish. because we didn't always have the best relationship. But in the last 3 to 4 years before she passed, we developed such a beautiful relationship. And so that day is so special to me. And I want you to know, no matter where this Mother's Day finds you, I want you to know that we see you. We value you. We care about you. And we celebrate you today. But even greater than your children, than your husband, than your church family celebrating you, God sees you and he celebrates you. He appreciates you. Let's pray. Father, we come to you today being such a good, good father and beginning the role as not just the father, but you took on a matriarch role to love us, to create a beautiful place for us to live. And we're so honored today. God, I bless every mother that is in the room today. I pray that her family celebrates her and lets her know how much she is loved. And God, I thank you for choosing her to make a difference. We give you the glory, God. You're the author, perfecter, and finisher of our faith, and we're grateful today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, today, the title of my message is Just Winging It. Just Winging It. I love watching butterflies. Do you see them on the screen? I love watching them. Have you ever watched one closely enough to watch them fluttering around? It looks like they're flying around without a care in the world. No rhyme, no reason. Like, what are they doing? They're changing direction with the wind, and they really do look like they're just winging it. But that isn't it at all for the butterfly. Every movement has purpose. Every landing contributes to something bigger, and they are on a mission with a vision and a passion. Being a mama often feels like we're just winging it. Anybody else? Just me? Okay. It does. It feels like, okay, I'm just winging this today. I'm winging that tomorrow. But like that butterfly that looks like it's just fluttering around, everything you do, mama, everything that you do is for a bigger purpose. And it is affecting your children's future. God made us imperfectly perfect, so that we can make a difference that will last a lifetime. Jeremiah 29:11, God tells us that he knows the plans he has for us, and they are with a hope and a future. So on days that you feel like you're just winging it, baby, God's got a plan. Have you ever heard of the idea known as the butterfly effect? Good. It's where even the smallest actions create ripples far beyond what we can see in the moment and with our eye. It is said that simply by the butterflies flapping their wings, it can cause a tornado weeks later in another side of the world. Just winging it, just doing your best, doing your mama things, it makes a difference in your kids' future. Every time you love on your babies, we do that a lot. Every time you sacrifice something, you whisper a prayer, you say their name, you bring them to God, you kiss their boo-boos, you choose patience over anger, help my Lord. You know, I said that raising 4 boys under the age of 6. I was always, help me, Lord. I don't know what I'm doing today, but you've got this. And I chose patience over anger most of the time. Every time you correct them, every time you get down on the floor and give them your undivided attention and you're playing with them, every time you choose to realize that failure is not final, you are gonna mess up. It's an opportunity to learn and grow to be a better mom. You are not just winging it. You're choosing to let God work intentionally through you. And you are sending an echo into their future. Galatians 6:9 reminds us, so place your name in there, Mom. So let's not get tired of doing what is good at just the right time. We will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Don't give up on your kids. Don't give up on your growth as a mom. We can always get 1% better every single day. You're shaping the lives of your kids in ways you will never know. Do any of you beat yourself up when you mess up? When you feel like you keep messing up, like you can't get it together? Yeah, me too. Then and even today with my adult children. As the matter of fact, I made so many mistakes raising Kagan, Colby, Keenan, Kane, called them all by different names also. I made so many mistakes that I really thought I had warped them for life. I did. But I look at them as adults, and all four of them are thriving. They're successful in business. They're making a difference. And the two that are dads are the two best dads I've ever met. They are so intentional. So if you've ever felt like you failed, let me encourage you today. Some of the most powerful women in Scripture didn't have it all together either. Thank you, Lord. I want to talk to you today about three mamas that are in the Bible that seemed like they were just winging it. The first one is Jochebed. Jochahu? Jochebed. She was the mother of Moses. I love Jochebed. As a matter of fact, I did a whole Mother's Day sermon just on her. She's that impactful. And you can find her whole story in Exodus 2. And I really hope you go home and search that out this week. Let me give you a little backstory. The Israelites had multiplied so greatly that they became too powerful, and Pharaoh got a little scared. So he gave an order to take every male child and throw it into the Nile River. He was trying to eliminate the threat of future warriors, and the enemy is still trying to do that today. He is trying to take our children and drown them because of the very reason that there's a warrior inside of your kids. Imagine for a moment that you place your newborn baby boy in a basket and you put him in the river not knowing what would happen. I don't know that I would sign up for that. I would probably let them kill me. You take me, not him. But putting them in the river, what would happen? Not knowing, but praying that it would save his life. No guarantees, no control, just trust. No idea if it was the right move. It was a risky and dangerous move, would you say? Yes, but it was still a move. And instead of submitting to hopelessness that was going on right there, can you imagine her mind? I'm sure she's like, what's going to happen to my baby? This is, I'm just scared for the future. But instead of bowing to the hopelessness and letting fear and uncertainty paralyze her, Jochebed chose, I am going to trust God, and I'm going to place him in the basket, and I'm going to put him in the Nile. She didn't have time to second guess herself. She didn't know, am I doing the right thing? She just had to run in the direction of hope, and her hope was in the Lord. You cannot let uncertainty stop you, paralyze you, and keep you stuck. So if you're in any of those moments right now, if you feel stuck, if you feel paralyzed, if fear has you not moving forward, there is hope, and his name is Jesus. You really have little lives that are counting on you to put your full trust in God. We often fear, I think, as I was raising my kids and am surrounded by lots of moms, we fear that we make the wrong decisions and we're going to screw up our kids for life, right? We fear that we're going to hurt them. And what if I don't make the right decision for their future? Do I stay home? Do I go to work? What do I do? But it's really not about focusing on the what to do, but on the who to submit them to. The who that's going to work it out. The word says that God works all things according to his purpose. It's all going to work out for the good. And I want to give you guys permission today that there are moments it's okay to just wing it. Sometimes we just have to wing it. And it's okay as long as your trust is in our mighty God. We can't wing it and do it in our own strength. We can wing it as long as we're walking with him. And that is exactly what Jochebed did. Because Pharaoh's daughter was walking along the river, and she saw Moses in the basket in the river, and she scooped him up, and she took him back to Pharaoh's daughter, and she was like, I don't know what to do with this kid. I can't nurse him. So guess how God's plan worked out? Jochebed got to receive her son back and nurse him until he was weaned. God answered her prayer, and she got him back for a while. What kind of mama would do that? I believe a mama that only has her trust in God, knowing that he's going to answer her prayer. And she trusted him way beyond our own human understanding. Her relationship was so important with God that she was thankful that she had kept her word to him. Then what about Hannah? She had prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed that God would give her a child. And God finally gave her a child, and then she had to give him back to the Lord because she told God that that's what she would do. And I believe if we could wrap our minds around our parenthood, moms and dads, if we wrapped our minds around the fact that they belong to God. They're a gift to us. God asked us to steward them, but we really have to give them back and trust that he's going to do what he already planned before he ever formed them in your womb. Then Mary, the mother of Jesus, She was a 13-year-old teenage girl who unexpectedly was chosen to carry the Savior of the world. There were no parenting books or mom influencers for that. And talk about just winging it. And you know, not only did she have to take on this role, but then they went to the temple and she lost Jesus for 3 whole days. She got all the way back and she was like, where's Jesus? Nobody could find Jesus. And that is the only other mother-son story we hear about Mary and Jesus throughout the whole Bible. I mean, you carry the Savior of the world, then you lose him. That is so relatable, right? I'm sure Mary and Jesus had other amazing moments, but that's the only one that was remembered. It was her mess up. I don't know about you, but mothering Jesus feels like an impossibility. The biggest responsibility that ever existed. But if Mary, at 13 years old, can raise Jesus, you, mama, can raise your babies. You got this, girls. Shauna said yesterday, Mary had to mother her Savior, our Savior. You know, my son that's here today is not my Savior, but he is my boss right now. And it's not hard for me to honor his role as my boss, but I'm sure it's hard for you to boss your mom, especially this mom. I really just can't imagine Jesus and Mary's dynamic. Have you ever felt so completely unqualified for a job as a mom? I'm not good enough to be a mom. I'm not patient enough. I'm not fun enough. I'm not wise enough. And just a whole laundry list of lies that we begin to believe. And I'm sure Mary felt the pressure, right? Whew. She couldn't have felt qualified enough. She couldn't have felt like she was good enough for her new role of Jesus. Yet, Mary said in Luke 1:38, let it be to me according to your word. She understood she had to do it with God, trusting that he would show her how to do it all, that she didn't have to make it up, shake it up, bake it up, that walking with him, she's going to know everything that she needed, that God's grace was sufficient for all of her shortcomings. So when you're feeling like you aren't good enough, be like Mary and do it with God. He will carry you and teach you along the way. Mama, do your best and give the rest to God. Just winging it for all three of these moms created a ripple effect that changed history. All three of these women trusted God with their kids and put them back in his hands. We can trust God with our kids because they're his to begin with. And you know, I know we all love our kids, but he loves them even more. Our job as parents is to speak life over our natural and spiritual kids, is to encourage their gifts and their passions, tell them all the time, you can do this. Let them know how valuable they are. Teach and model wisdom and relationship with God so that as they grow, they are discovering who God made them to be. They know their identity is in Christ, and that way the world or culture can never tell them any differently. And I want you to know today, we were never meant to do this alone. These mamas didn't do it alone. Even butterflies don't exist in isolation. You saw them on the screen. There was a line of them. They are a part of an ecosystem. They're interconnected, they're dependent, and they are essential to each other. And that's how we need to be. We don't have to reinvent the wheel. You don't have to be so independent thinking that you're doing it all by yourself. We need the wisdom of mamas who've gone before us and know the things we're going through, right? I will never understand the people that think that they have to come up with being a mom alone. I'm not too prideful to take advice. Like this, there's a generation of moms that are like, I don't want any of your advice. But that is unbiblical. Please give me all the advice because I don't know everything. And there are things that I've never had to navigate in every age and stage. I believe there are too many moms that aren't believing and listening to the older generation. But I do want to caution you. You don't want to take mom advice from just anybody. You only ever want to take advice with someone you're willing to trade places with. Like, I'm not going to go to a dentist that doesn't have any teeth. I'm not going to go and let somebody touch my hair that doesn't have good hair. You know, I think that it's important that you only take advice from somebody you would trade places with. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 and 10 says, two are better than one. If either of them falls, one can help the other up. We need a village. And the Bible shows us that too. Moses had Miriam watching over him. Naomi had Ruth walking with her. And Mary had Elizabeth to encourage her. And the beautiful thing is anything that you don't know how to do, the Bible will guide you. Titus 2, 3 and 5, through 5 says, that word, you can read it on the screen. I can't say R's and L's together. Read it. Teach the older women to live in a way that honors God. They must not slander others or be heavy drinkers. Instead, they should teach others what is good. These older women must train the younger women to love their husbands and their children, to live wisely and be pure, to work in their homes, to do good, and to be submissive to their husbands. Then they will not bring shame on the word of God. So, older women, I'm going to give us a charge to do a better job of helping raise up these younger moms. And younger moms, my prayer for you is that you will accept guidance. None of us know it all. And I look back and I value the people that I could call and say, hey, I don't know what to do with this. Can you give me some insight? We've lost this biblical principle here in Titus in this modern world. It appears like so many of us just think that we know everything. We have become independent instead of interdependent. We're better together. It's not just a saying we say, it is the truth. You can take it to the bank. Here's what it really is. We rely on self, mom influencers, and books when we should be relying on God's word. That's why it's so important to get into a crew. And I love that here in this church, there's even a mom crew. So get together, share. How are you getting through I think it's terrible threes, but I had boys. They got wild. But anyway, get together, ask, glean from one another. And that really is community where we put the word in action. An African proverb says, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. So how do we do this in real life? Well, Romans 12:2 says, be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourself. So we do that by checking in on the overwhelmed moms. Just this past week, I checked on two new moms. I checked on Maitland, and I checked on Nicole. It's so important that we check in on those overwhelming moms, because it's easy to criticize, it's easy to judge, but when we can come together and check in on them, it helps so much. And then, you know, another thing that we can do is we can offer to help them, okay? I loved what Jess does. Every Sunday, if she's seeing something over with the kids when they're in here, she's not like, okay, where's the mom? She goes in and mothers them. It's a village. It takes a village. And we need to encourage instead of compare. More encouragement, less comparison. Because I believe when we compare two people, it causes them to compare their lives with everybody else. And we need to begin showing up instead of standing back. Moms, you do not have to wing it anymore. You have the help of the Holy Spirit. And as we live out Titus 2, you have a community here to support you. We're better together. And I want to encourage you all this Mother's Day that just like Jochebed, just like Hannah, and just like Mary, your faith in uncertain moments matters more than having all the answers. So as they dim the lights, I'm going to ask you to stand. And I'm going to ask you to get real with yourself and real with God. And I want you to just kind of look at your life. Look at your motherhood. And let God begin highlighting things to you. Let Him encourage you. Let Him forgive you. And let Him love on you right now. The best way to be a mother is to commit your life to Jesus. So if you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I think this Mother's Day is the most perfect day to do it. And as every eye is closed, if you have not and would like to, would you just slip up your hand right now? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And every mom, let's pray this prayer. Say, dear Jesus, I believe that you died on a cross and you rose again to save me. I believe in my heart and I'm confessing with my mouth that I am saved, that you have a plan for me, and I choose that plan today. Please forgive me for any way that I fall short. Thank you for setting me on a new path. In Jesus' name. And now I'm going to ask the moms to come up front as a symbol that we are united, we're better together, and that way we can look to our right and our left and in front of us and back of us, and we can say, you are my village. When I need encouragement, I'm going to call on you. Come on up all the way. Michelle, lead the way like you did it in rally. Come on. Come on, come on, come on. And as we sing this song, I want you to listen to the words. And I want you to lock arms with at least one person. And I want you to worship your heart out and thank the Lord that He's called you for such a time as this.
Thank you so much for joining us today. I hope you are encouraged. If you are looking for more information, please visit ourcitychurch.online. We love you. We're praying for you. We'll see you soon.